Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, I want to welcome you to another edition of To Liberate, and I want to know how everybody doing this Friday evening. All that is sitting back chilling by the radio this evening and listening, got your little drink on or your yayo on, whatever you're doing. I'm glad you took the time to join us this evening. You know, this show is going to be pretty interesting, I think, in my opinion, in a couple of ways. And we might can't get it all in, you know, in the short time that we have. So what I'm anticipating that the guests and you all are going to make this a show that we will want to add a couple parts to. And that's always fine with me. As y'all know, I'm always here to talk, to chat, and to make information available. You know, to hopefully you can take something back to you, with you, that will help you in what you do every day. You know, I was talking today to a few people, and I had got an email, and it really, really struck me as a reason why I would do a show like this today. And the main reason was to do a show like this today was because of an email, and that's how it initially started. And I'm going to kind of share this with you. And I have a guest that is going to be live with us. And hopefully she's going to add a lot more insight and input to what we're doing. So let's just get this thing cracking off. I got an email from a brother by the name of Armando. And he says, I'm an ex-gang member, and I'm currently doing life. You know, I've been doing time since I was 12 years old. I started gangbanging when I was 9 years old. I've been through juvie hall, boys' ranches, group homes, California Youth Authority, county jail, and now prison. I'm glad you gave me the opportunity to share my experience with everybody so that you kids and loved ones will not have to go through the pain, suffering, and heartache that I have gone through because of my stupidity and lack of knowledge. I am here to help those who wish to be helped and to enlighten those who have terrorized, who I have terrorized once and have made my victims. This is my way of making amends to society. And I was like, wow, you know, it really got me because I'm like, this is a young person we're looking at, and this person is doing time, is doing life. So it got me to wondering, everybody put a face on it, you know, because I think everybody wants to belong. And I'm hoping that my guests can enlighten us a little bit. And for my listening audience out there, I see we have a couple callers on the line. I'm glad that you have you out there. Thank you for being with us tonight. But I have a special guest and by the name of Felicia Carter. Felicia, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Wanted to make sure you're there. Can you say hello to the audience tonight? I want to make sure I got a good connection with you.
Good evening, everybody. Like your host was saying, you know, I'm Felicia Carter, and I'm here to answer any questions brought to me. You know, hopefully try to make some differences in people's lives. Anybody.
Wow.
If you can help one, you can help them all. So I've heard.
Hey. I couldn't have said it better. And that's the truth. You know, I saw this documentary, you know, it was called Made in America, and it was about the Crips and Blood, and it kind of made me think. It said, you know, is it really? At one moment when I was seeing all that, you know, just violence, you know, and people coming at each other, and just, you know, really having to lay hands and putting the heat on folk, I was like, damn, is it really, you know, worth it, you know? You know, but on the other hand, everybody wants respect, you know? And I think that when you, sometimes you have a sense of that when you with your homies or when you have a group of people, you know, even from your enemies. So it is a real sense of power because you feel like you have respect. So I want you to tell me a little bit about you. Why did you feel the need to, you know, join at first? And what was your experience? How old were you when you got involved with gang activity, first of all?
Well, you know.
Or was it called a gang or a social club?
Growing up mm-hmm. in my house, you know, okay. single mom, you know, my brother gangbang. And, you know, I always just aspired to be a little bit like him because, you know, he always had the cool friends and he always had, always had a group of people or, like, they was like his other family. So I could see that just growing up around him. And, you know, as I got older, I say about 12, you know, just to fit in at school, it was the thing to do.
Okay.
I mean, I had a good childhood. My childhood was good, so I wasn't missing family. You know, I knew who my father was, and, you know,
okay.
I think it was more so for me just to fit in. I think just fitting in school and getting to know everybody and having
Did you have a relationship
know,
with...
like, what was that?
I'm sorry. I was like, you said you knew your father and everything. I was like, did you have a relationship with him or anything? Or?
Well, yeah, you know, our relationship was as follows. Summertime, we go stay with him. And
okay.
when it was time to go back to school, we came back home with mom. So we was really mainly but I had a relationship with my father and his side of the family.
Did he know that you was... Was your other side of the family, were they aware of your gangbanging activity, or was anybody aware of it?
No, my family, my siblings, nobody was aware of my gang activities. When I did things outside of the house, I kind of kept it mm-hmm. outside of the house because my mom was really strict. So if she ever would have just, like, imagined that I could be a part of something like that, I wouldn't be able to go back outside. So I kind of kept that life separate.
Okay.
I kept it really private. Like, when I was outside, I got my respect and I got my love from my fam outside. But inside the house, it was pure my mom's child. Just yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, and whatever she wanted me to do.
So what was the difference from the love that you got outside your natural family? That because I'm looking at this young man's email to me, and it's like I noticed that he said my family, my outside family, and he has to go on in the letter. Of course, I didn't read the whole letter, but I'm just trying to get you to give us a perspective. Like, what was the difference of your inside family?
It's a total different level of respect. Like when we was outside, and you know, I was with my family that I considered family. It was my gang family, but it was we was more than a gang. We was like, if you need something, if somebody messing with you, just it was like. Then I was so young, you know, it was easy to get trapped in that, you know, and
okay.
all the things that
okay.
we did, like, you know, whatever we did, we all did it together.
Mm.
So it was like
it seems like. Mhm. Mhm. 12 years old, you said 12. It seems like a magical age, you know, because this young man right here has said the same thing. He started with like 9 and 12. He's been doing it since he was 12. So that seems like a real vulnerable age, it seems like. And I'm hearing you say the same thing. So I'm like, you know, what happened, you know, that you feel that a kid would feel at that early of an age that, you know, hey, I need more. I'm just, you know, I'm trying to put myself, you know, because this is a magical age. If you say in 12 and this person, you don't even know this person from Adam's Tomcat, and for y'all both to have said the same thing is really interesting to me. I guess that's why it zoomed in on me. Y'all both said 12 years old. It's kind of like a magical age where I guess you're trying to find yourself, you know, and want things. Was it, were you getting the things that you wanted at home? Is, do you think that maybe that might have...
I didn't, you know, at home, you know, we didn't have the best, but we always had enough. And the way I was raised, you know, it was so much love, and you couldn't put a value on the things my mom showed us at a real young age. So I guess I was more of a leader type person. So it was easy for me to adjust to people looking up to me, to, you know, walking in the room and everybody knowing my name, and, you know, just every time something was going down, they knew I knew something about something, or I was in it, or, you know, it just, I don't know, it was a feeling, it was a different kind of feeling, like, just people always looked up to you, and, you know, you was feared by everybody, like, people knew they couldn't mess with you without messing with all the people you associate and affiliate with. So, you know, around that age where, like peer pressure take over everything, you know, I think I was more so peer pressured into it. Like, all my friends was doing it. My brother was doing it. Like, everybody we knew that he knew, they was doing it. So I guess it was just natural for me to just pick it up and just, like, just do it with them, you know, just be a part of it.
Were you scared? Were you scared at all? I mean,
getting jumped into the game was the scariest. Getting jumped in, I think, to me, was the scariest. Was the scariest about the whole thing. And it's like you risk being shot at. You risk being beat up because you represent this side of town, or you represent this one thing. And, you know, I think for me, though, I didn't even fear none of that because we fought all the time, you know. Fighting wasn't nothing to me, you know. I was used, because I was a big girl in school, so I was used to fighting. I was used to always having to come in and prove myself so that other people don't even want to try me. So I think getting jumped into the game was the scariest, and it was one of the roughest, because, you know, you're getting hit on by people that say they're your family, and, I mean, and they're not showing you no love. They really getting you in the way you're supposed to get in, which is either being jumped in, or, like, if you're a girl, having sex with all the men of the gang.
Okay.
Or the group
that's like
that
initiation
you're in. Yeah, that's so how that's... you get initiated. So being jumped in was the scariest part.
Wow.
And after being jumped in, you know, it's love. Everybody show you love, and, you know, you party. And you do, like, at that young of an age, we was drinking, smoking, doing what the grown-ups was doing.
Okay.
So, you know, it only progressed as
life.
I got older.
Y'all was actually,
what was that?
You was actually living a double life. You was actually living a double life.
I was. It was, like, because when I came home, I couldn't bring that home. Because my mother wouldn't have stood for it in no shape, form, or fashion.
Wow. Again,
my mom wouldn't have stood for it.
She wouldn't have stood for it. But you somehow got into all this activity. We haven't gotten into the, you know, a gist of some of this. But again, I want to thank all of you who are on the line. Again, the call-in number is 892-4136 if you have any questions or comments. We started with an email that we got from a young man by the name of Armando, who was in the gang, started at the same age as our guest here, Felicia. And this individual is doing life in jail, in prison. And like Felicia, has decided to take the negative and use it as a positive, and hoping that they can steer some young people away from making some of the same mistakes that they've made. So our guest is very interesting, and again, that's what we're talking about. We appreciate you being out here. Really appreciate you being
with us.
No problem. Now, when you talk about a lot of gangs, so is it a lot of females? You know, you sets, are they straight female sets? Are they co-ed sets? Or how would you explain when it's that young?
I would say it's just as many females in gangs as there are men. It's just as many females. You know, sometimes you can tell, you know, you got those ones that stay pretty, you know, and but they represent all the way to the fullest, or go as hard as needed. You know, as long as they need it, they'll be there. And I feel like it's just as many women as it is men. And they live it. Like, you know, it's a lifestyle. People live it. They day-to-day life be about it. And, you know, it's like, you know, I can't say I regret being in a gang. You know, if I could go back and do it again, I wouldn't have done it, but I can't say I regret it, because being in the gang made me partly who I am today, you know, and it had something to do with shaping the person that I am today, and I mean,
okay.
it was life altering for me, you know.
Wow.
And, you know, I had a point in my life where you know, I almost died because of my gang affiliation. You know, I didn't start nothing. You know, I was never the type of person to start nothing anyway, but I would finish it with the best of them. So, you know, for me, it was life. It was life-altering, and I almost lost my life. And it wasn't worth it. Like, it wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth the hurt and the pain and everything that you cause the people that love you just for you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not because
you're part
of the
gang. Okay, hold on. Back up a little bit. Now, when you say I almost died, I mean, okay, so just how deep did it get? What was that part of your makeup, and what happened?
I was in the eighth grade.
Eighth grade. So you were about
14.
What? How old? 14?
About 14.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
About 14 years old. And got kicked out of school because, you know, I was being very managed. Like, I let the gang control who I was, and it started to affect the other life that I had, which was my home life.
So there was other 14-year-olds
kicked
with you in school? Wait a minute, there were other 14-year-olds at your school that were also gang members?
Yeah.
So you sound like...
A large group of us.
So a lot of your set members
life.
Was at schools?
Yeah.
So a lot of your gang members was at school with you then? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We all went to school together every day, or we skipped school together every day. However we did it together.
Okay,
so
I get kicked out of school,
and they send me to an alternative school. Now, this alternative school is made up of Latin Kings, which was a Mexican gang.
Okay.
Vice Lords, and Gangster Disciples. Now, I was a Gangster Disciple, and we had kind of a treaty with the Latin Kings. So, you know, we were all cool. All the gangsters were cool with the Latin Kings. And the Vice Lords were the only ones that stuck out. So one day, you know, I'm coming to school, you know, and I get into a fight with a girl that's in a rival gang, which was the Vice Lords. And this girl on this particular day brought a knife with her to school. You know, a regular house steak knife. Nice, long, thin, really sharp type of knife.
Okay.
And I'm in school. She's in the school. She walked past me. You know, she pushed me, and I turned around to say something to her. And before I could say anything to her, she was already swinging. Now, I had no idea she had a knife in her hand. I had no idea, you know, what was going to go down that day. But, you know, it happened the way it happened. You know, she came with the knife. She stabbed me. She stabbed me in the head twice.
Wow.
In the neck once, in the back once. So I got a total of four knife wounds.
Mm.
And after
in eighth
after
grade, 14 years
that,
old?
Yep. She was 16, I was 14.
Wow. Okay. Man.
So, you know, she ended up stabbing and cutting up one of my guys who actually broke the fight up. But, you know,
What was there any staff there? Any teachers?
There. She nicked the teacher, like one of the teachers. That's why they didn't jump in and break the fight up after she nicked one of the teachers. It was a little cut for the teacher, but one of my fellow gang members, you know, he jumped in and she ended up cutting his hand from one end to the other end, and he tried to grab the knife. So when she cut him from one end of the hand to the other end, she kind of stuck the knife in his shoulder and broke it off. And they were able to detain her after she did that. But in this whole process, now I'm stabbed up. I had no idea. My adrenaline was going. I had no idea she had, you know, when I was seeing blood, I thought it was her blood because we was fighting like that. So I thought it was her blood. I didn't think it was me. So, you know, I got people on me trying to calm me down and get me to just chill out. But I'm so excited, you know, my adrenaline rushing. I'm still trying to get at her. And, you know, I passed out. Like, I had lost so much blood, I passed out. I'm laying there, passed out, and I'm like, before I passed out, you know, I kind of had this conversation with this guy, and I can't say it was God, I can't say who the guy was, but, you know, I'm standing asking him, like, where am I? Like, I was just fighting, you know, and I'm still asking him, and I'm not really, like, we talking, and I can hear him, but it was like, it was so real, it was surreal, like, I couldn't believe it, you know, I thought I was dead. I thought this was what the afterlife looked like.
Okay.
Because, you know, I know I'm not woke because I'm not around nothing that I remember. Like, all of everything, I'm in a school, so it's easy to know where I'm at. So when I passed out, you know, I'm having this conversation with this guy, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on. And when I woke up, you know, I'm sitting in the hospital, and my mom is right there on the side of me. She had the saddest look on her face, you know, like one of them looks where, you know, when your mother scolds you because you did something bad, but it's like it's a deeper look. I can't explain it, but you know, it was one of them. It was a life altering look for me. Like I'll never forget her eyes and her face, and you know, she looked like she had been crying, and.
I'm sure she had been.
But you know, after that brush with death, it kind of straightened me up.
Okay.
I kind of.
And so,
what happened to the
person that was responsible? The person that was responsible for cutting you up like that. What happened to them?
Well, because it was gang affiliated, she only received 2 years in a juvenile detention center.
Okay.
Because it was
gang.
And
you almost lost your life.
Yeah, I mean, I almost died. Like, they told my mom 2 inches to the left, and, you know, it would have been over for me. I had staples all through my head. You know, I had didn't want to come outside. I didn't want to come outside for months. Like, I had to go through a lot of self issues.
Emotionally.
Like, I had to deal with a lot of issues within me.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to ask you about that because I was going to say, surely that you had enough physical scars. We all know, I mean, in the neck, the head, and the back, I mean, the physical scars are obvious. Those are the obvious. But I'm just, you know, feeling the emotional scars behind something like that. You know, and I'm sure that you had a lot of emotional stuff going on. You said you didn't want to come outside. Why was that? Why didn't you want to come out?
You know, in the beginning, you know, all I could see was people with knives. Like, she had her knife so disguised, like, you would have never been able to tell. This individual, you know, came with a knife just to do what she did. And, you know, I had I had a fear of just walking past somebody and maybe they got a knife. You know, I had a really, really, really good support system after all this happened, you know. I had really good people in my life and a lot of good opportunities to come to my life because of that situation.
Wow.
So I think for me, a lot of people don't get that. A lot of people don't have, like, that's why they turn to gangs, because they don't have that support system that I had. Like, I never really valued my family as much as I do now until then. Like, it was really hard. It was hard to go outside. It was hard to be around people that I didn't know. It was hard. It was really hard.
Ooh.
It was really hard. But, you know, by the grace of God, somehow. No,
did
I didn't
go
to school. I didn't go back to school. I didn't go back to school for, like, 6-7 months after that.
Wow.
I didn't go to school for 6 or 7 months. Not only did they kick me out of school, they tried to fail me. They tried to fail me because I had missed the last 2 or 3 months of school. Because after I would have got done with that, I didn't start anything. I didn't get no repercussions on me because of what happened to me legally.
You know what?
Everything that happened fell on her.
Okay. Well, you know what? We're gonna have to. You already made a commitment. I said I knew that when we began to get into the gist of, and it's so much more. I got about 1,000 more questions here, sitting here to ask you, except we're running out of time. And so I want the listeners to know, because I have some callers on here, and apparently they have just been sitting here listening. Listen, callers, I want to first of all thank you for being there. Thank you for listening. And apparently your story is something that we want to continue to hear. So I got to have a part two of this. So we're going to probably take this on, on Monday. And hopefully we can, next time you're available, and we're going to hope that it's Monday, because I think it's real important that parents understand how easy it is, and sometimes it's not what's not happening at home. Sometimes you can set up an environment that you think is conducive to what your child should be in, and they still can look for activity and find activity other places that you wouldn't believe that they're in. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to thank my guests for being here, because, again, we got coming down on the 60-second mark, and I'm so glad that she was able to share some of her story, but she's not through. And we definitely going to come back with a part two of this. I'm hoping that you're going to join me. I'm going to send out email flyers so we can finish with Felicia Carter's story, and we can also finish with Brother Armando. Again, I thank you for being there this evening, and y'all have a great, great weekend. Be blessed.
Good night.
There's no reason for me to find fault in you. And none of us are perfect, but we are as perfect as we were created. After all, we feel the same hurt, breathe the same air, live on the same earth, and under the same sky. So let's just get it right now. You have a soul like I do, so I have no right to judge you. But the way that I look is a reflection of how I feel about me and you. But we are as perfect as we were created. Let's stop looking at races, classes, and faces. Share the same space. It's not gonna be. We might as well get it right now.
Is it better if some get shunned? Cause they're not a part of a religion.
Hang up and call me on my cell. Let me hang up. Okay. Let's hang up. Mm-hmm.